This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Time for some football talk. Pro Football Talk, to be exact. That is his Twitter handle for Mike Florio. NBC Sports, ProFootballTalk.com. And he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. All right, Mike, well, let's kind of unwind all this. The news since yesterday afternoon has come fast and furious regarding this staged tryout pro day, whatever you want to call it, for Colin Kaepernick. Why is this, and how is this, and what is this?
Well, here's what it is. It's not Colin Kaepernick holding an audition, and I heard in your update that's how it was phrased, and that's a very common misconception, and I'm not blaming anyone. I think the way the NFL leaked this, it's created the impression that Kaepernick has decided in some sort of a last ditch, I'm going to have a private workout for all NFL teams, come show up if you want to, and if not, well, that's your loss. This is the NFL specifically deciding to do this without even telling Kaepernick. They set it up. And then they told Kaepernick, hey, you got a workout on Saturday in Atlanta, and all teams are invited. And Kaepernick's people said, well, Saturday, teams are kind of busy on Saturday. How about Tuesday, the normal day that teams hold tryouts? Nope, it's got to be Saturday. Well, how about next Saturday so teams have a chance to plan for this and be there if they want to send key decision makers? Nope, it's got to be this Saturday. So this thing is just weird to me. And there's a hidden agenda that has pushed it. I don't know what it is. Schefter on ESPN suggested that Roger Goodell feels bad about the things that have happened, which I don't buy that that's the reason for it. I can't tell you whether or not he actually feels bad, but I don't think that's the impetus for this. It's either a clumsy, awkward PR play at a time when nobody's talking about Colin Kaepernick, or and this is what I think it is. I think it's an effort to help the league's standing in the event that Colin Kaepernick files a second lawsuit alleging that he's now the victim of retaliation individually and collectively by the 32 teams who are upset that he sued them for collusion and essentially won by settling the case for somewhere between $1 and $10 million. So because it's been crickets, and remember when they settled this claim back in February, Mark Gergis was saying, oh, somebody's going to do the right thing and sign him within the next 2 weeks. And nobody's ever showed any interest in him. I feel like this is a clumsy way by the NFL to basically play this game of chess with Kaepernick. It's like, hey, you want back in? We're going to set up this workout for you, even though it's essentially a meaningless workout, especially if no coaches or GMs are there.
I think there's another aspect to it that we have to watch out for here. The second phase of this is unnamed attendees leaking that, you know, he didn't look very good. You know, it's clear he's not what he was. You know, I think the first little whispers that we hear coming out of it are going to matter, because then it gets to blaming him. Then it gets to whether saying, well, you know, now it's definitely not worth it in the calculus because, boy, it's he doesn't have the zip on the fastball anymore. He's not moving right, or his body didn't look good. So we got to really closely monitor from whom we get the first word and what it sounds like.
Well, and you know what? That's an excellent point. And what I'm going to do is I am going to challenge all members of the media to not traffic in unnamed scout who attended the session says Kaepernick stinks. There's too much of that crap that goes on before the draft as teams try to rig the draft board, and they say bad things about guys they like and good things about guys they don't like, and they leak it to the media, which is so anxious to have content that they don't care about the credibility of the content.
Yep.
I'm going to tell them ahead of time, if you do it, I'm calling you out. Not that it's going to stop them, but I'm calling them out if they do it. And I have a short list in mind of the people who I think will do it. Oh, unnamed source who was present at the workout says Colin Kaepernick, he just doesn't have it anymore. Well, okay, what credibility is that going to have? So I agree with you. There's the potential for various forms and levels of chicanery, and I'm suspicious of the whole thing. I don't know why they would do it, And I am going to assume, based upon the way they've handled Colin Kaepernick from the moment he became a free agent in March of 2017, that they are up to no good with this.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. There are three starting quarterbacks in the NFL who just don't have it anymore, and then five guys backing up five other quarterbacks that just don't have it anymore, too.
Did have it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Oh, Mike, absolutely. What are his, as you see it playing out, what are Colin Kaepernick's options if he says, how does it play out for him if he says, no, I'm not taking this workout?
He's going. He intends to go.
What would happen if he didn't, though?
Well, then the argument would be, see, he's not serious about coming back to the NFL. And there would be a segment of the media and the fan base that would buy that. I mean, there's still people who push this idea that the only reason he was unemployed in 2017 is because he opted out of his contract with the 49ers, even though 49ers GM John Lynch has said on the record, we were going to cut him anyway. There are still people who bring up this, oh, he opted out. All the false narratives. Oh, he's a vegan. Oh, he's not serious about really playing. He doesn't love football anymore. He wants too much money. He wants to be a starter. Nobody knows the answer to any of those questions because he's never been asked. He had one visit to the Seattle Seahawks, and the Seahawks, the belief was they didn't want somebody there who was going to threaten Russell Wilson. Even though they embraced competition at every position on the roster, they didn't want competition in the form of Colin Kaepernick, who would potentially, and you know, at the time, 2017, they still had some pretty strong personalities that resented Russell Wilson. Maybe that would have been a toxic stew, because then they could have said, hey, Colin Kaepernick's better than this guy. So I can understand that, but to have no one else ever bring him in for a visit, no one else bring him in for a workout, the whole thing stinks. I think that he should be very leery about this, but you know, they're looking for these false narratives that they can perpetuate. And if he doesn't show up, they've got another false narrative that they can say, oh, he's not serious about playing football at all.
How has Lamar Jackson's success in any way change some context, not just about Kaepernick, who you know, we watched him running free against defenses for a while as this sort of hybrid style. Does the fact that Lamar Jackson is doing it in an unconventional fashion change the quarterback discussion generally at all?
Well, it should. And it's more than just Lamar Jackson. Over the past two or three years, we have seen teams take college quarterbacks who were highly successful, and instead of trying to jam them into a system that is foreign to them, coming up with an offense that simulates what they did at the college level. And we've seen that old school stubbornness, that Bill Polian, Lamar Jackson should be a receiver mindset slip away. And it's like, okay, this guy has shown in the offense that he ran in college that he can be incredibly successful. If we believe in him at this level, let's let him do the same thing. So I think that that's been there, this idea throughout Colin Kaepernick's unemployment, the idea that if you bring this guy in, you design the offense to suit his strengths, it's a no-brainer. And who's the offensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens? It's Greg Roman, the guy who put together the offense that Kaepernick ran in San Francisco. And the Ravens should be at the front of the list. If anybody's going to sign this guy, it would be the Ravens, because if Lamar Jackson gets hurt, you're down to RG3. And I think Kaepernick's better than RG3 right now. And you'd need to have a backup who can run that offense. And I think Kaepernick would make sense behind RG3 if and when Jackson gets injured.
A national report says the Dolphins will have people there at Colin Kaepernick's workout. I asked this question because I know it's a little simplistic, but I ask it to play it out. If the NFL can tell Colin Kaepernick, this is your workout and this is you have to go, can they not do the same thing for NFL representatives, for coaching staffs, for scouts, for GMs? Can they not tell? Why wouldn't they tell people to go? This is what you're doing today.
And here's the thing. You know, people will say, well, the NFL has no power over the teams. Okay, well, when Michael Sam was in the draft pool and a phone call was made from the league office to Jeff Fisher and a backroom deal was done to get the Rams to draft him, I mean, there's ways to make these things happen if you really want them to happen.
I'm with you. That's all the quiet backroom horse trading. It's public for a reason.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. These tryouts happen all the time. Every Tuesday, there will be anywhere from 1 to 15 to, if a team's on a bye week, they'll bring in 20 guys to have a tryout on a Tuesday. to the team facility with the coach there, with high-level scouts there, to observe the guy, to put him through the paces, to have him do the things that he would be doing if he was on that team. So the fact that the Dolphins are sending, it doesn't matter. All the Dolphins have to do is call him up and say, come to Miami right now, and we'll give you a workout. It's a charade. It's a show. And the best explanation I can come up with is that Jeff Pasch, the NFL's general counsel, decided that there's a legal strategy to be implemented here to protect the league against the next Kaepernick lawsuit, and this is their clumsy way of implementing it.
I want to slam my head against the dashboard on my drive-in. I was listening to our morning show with Mully and Haw. They were talking with Rich Campbell, and Mike, the Tribune just came out with a many-thousand-word, like magazine-style piece, forensically going back and studying how the Bears ended up with Mitchell Trubisky and talking about all of the interviews and their lack of interest in Deshaun Watson and how they felt about Patrick Mahomes, etc. And it was a real indictment of Ryan Pace in a lot of ways with his process and his certainty and how he arrived where he did. But at one point near the end, they said, will the Bears go be a part of this Kaepernick tryout? And what Rich Campbell, the Bears beat guy from the Tribune, said was, they probably wouldn't want to be seen there. They might send somebody, they might hide, or they might go secretly. But if it gets out that they're there or they're publicly definitely watching, they would be concerned about the effect on the fragile confidence of Mitchell Trubisky. And I just wanted to drive into a ditch.
I don't think his confidence can get any worse, right? When the guy wants to unplug all the TVs in the facility because he doesn't want to hear criticism of the team. I look at it this way. If your quarterback, and I don't know that Mitchell Trubisky actually is this fragile, but if a quarterback is that fragile, he's got no business being the guy that you're trusting to go out there and try to win football games.
Yeah, I don't know that he is that fragile necessarily, but his confidence is absolutely an issue in his play. I wonder, though, like, Mike, if you had to take either the Bears GM job tomorrow or the Rams GM job tomorrow, which is the more attractive job for you, knowing all of the issues involved and the fact that, listen, they committed that money to Jared Goff. The Bears have not yet done so to Mitch Trubisky.
Well, one of the reasons I take the Bears GM job is the tax rate in California is 13.3%.
Yeah,
you got to think of that.
Yeah.
But I would take the Bears job because it's easier to get away from Trubisky than it is to get away from Jared Goff. They're screwed. And this is one of the big criticisms I have of Sean McVay. Great tactical coach, great designer of plays, great play caller. But when it comes to handling your guys, he needs to develop that thick skin, that callus on his soul that you need to have. You need to know when to cut guys loose. And you need to not let yourself, number one, fall in love with guys prematurely. And then number two, allow the media to push you deeper into the relationship than you'd like to be. What happened was in the aftermath of Super Bowl 53, when Jared Goff had an opportunity to make a championship throw in a championship spot, when there was a play they ran in the first half, and Goff didn't see Brandon Cooks break wide open down the middle of the field. They missed it the first time. They had a half-hour halftime. They did it again in the third quarter when it was 7-3, and he missed him again. He waited too long. He threw a bad ball. It was broken up. It would have changed everything. The Rams go up 7-3 in the third quarter, changes everything. And there was a lot of criticism that was hoisted upon Goff after that. And throughout the offseason, guys like me and others in the media were criticizing Goff. And McVay kept so over the top. I mean, it was gross. It was so over the top in praising Jared Goff. Eventually, Goff's agent says, hey, look at all these things you said. It's time to pay the guy. And now they paid him, and now they're screwed. And if they had been more dispassionate and didn't feel compelled to mount this aggressive defense of Jared Goff, they may have been able to kick the can for one more year. And then after this year, I mean, look at it this way. Just like with Todd Gurley. They did a contract with Todd Gurley that after the 2018 season, they regretted. Now they've done a contract with Jared Goff that after the 2019 season, based on what we've seen so far, they're going to regret.
Do you really think that was causal? Do you really think that the agent seized upon what was being said about him and all the hosannas that were thrown his way? Ultimately, the team can kind of mealy-mouth their way and say, it doesn't mean we have to pay.
No,
we were just kind of saying stuff.
One of the first lessons I learned when I got into this business, and from someone who's been around for a long time and whose opinion I trust, you always have to be careful what you say publicly about your guys, because if you praise them, That becomes Exhibit A when it's time to negotiate the next contract. And McVay did it so many times and so over the top and so aggressively. It got to a point where it was too conspicuous. You've got to pay the guy. How do you? Because if you don't, here's the problem. And this is the argument I'd make if I was Jared Goff's agent. If you don't give him the contract now, people are going to think that everything you said all offseason long was a lie. And I think that Ryan Toner, who represents a bunch of these young quarterbacks, including Carson Wentz, I think he worked it perfectly to get Goff the contract, just like the folks at Roc Nation worked it perfectly last year to get Todd Gurley's contract, which was great for Gurley, but awful for the Rams, given what happened to his knee last year. And look at him this year. And that's the other thing, too. Like, Sean McVay's afraid to say, anytime that they ask Todd, like, why isn't Todd Gurley being used? They're afraid to say, well, his knee's messed up. He's not a workhorse tailback anymore. They come up with all these other excuses other than just admitting the truth. His knee's messed up, and he's not the guy that he was 2 years ago, period.
So if you were representing Mitchell Trubisky, would you be able to put – it's almost like being in front of an arbitrator. Do you think there's enough here? Do you think there's enough praise, enough of the we believe in him, or it was a tale of two halves, or he looked great on those throws that he made?
Gets himself out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, do you – works himself out of it, however they want to phrase it. Do you think you've got enough of a case to present?
I think that if I was Mitchell Trubisky's agent, my best hope would be to convince another team after the 2020 season – that Matt Nagy was too rigid with his offense and unwilling to do the things that Mitchell Trubisky does well and unwilling to avoid the things he doesn't do well. And look at all these other quarterbacks like Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, where you take their skill set and you develop an offense around them. If you do that with Mitchell Trubisky, he can be successful for you. That's the best argument I've come up with. I think the ship has sailed as long as Matt Nagy's the coach in Chicago, because Trubisky just doesn't fit that offense.
Mike, appreciate you. Great chat.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That is Mike Florio. Outstanding stuff. Just full of content today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.